how are we taught to get ahead in this world, in life? Sometimes you hear you need to be strong and assertive. You need to be proactive. You need to be strategic to get ahead. Or to kind of press even further, some will say you need to take advantage of the situation or other people to be a bit cutthroat. Don't ever back down in a situation. That's how you get ahead. Or kind of the more a different approach to that is, well, just make good connections. Don't ever burn bridges. Work the system that you're in. Then you'll get ahead. And Jesus says, blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. I could just kind of hear the Judean mountainside crickets after he said that, right? What are you talking about, Jesus? Because that would have been just as unusual then as it is now. I want to remind you of the context, and then we're going to look at two things this morning, what he meant by gentle and what he meant by inherit the earth. But the context is the crowds were following him. Maybe they wanted to see another miracle. Maybe they wanted to hear him teach. Maybe they just wanted to see what was going on. But huge numbers of people were following Jesus. And in this particular scene, at the end of Matthew 4, it says he withdrew from the crowds. And he went up on a mountainside. But his followers, the disciples, went with him up there. And he sat down and began to teach them. But the crowd is still down the hill, right? They're still there. That's the context. This is what he's teaching is for those who follow him, like us. But he's talking about that ancient practice of God blessing his people so that they might bless the world around them. So what a picture of that. In this setting, in Matthew 5, he's teaching the disciples, his followers, think us, so that we can then go bless the crowds, the community, the world around us. So through this whole series, hold that in mind, that all the things we talk about each week are ways that God might bless you and me for the purpose of us then going and blessing the crowd, the community, the people we run into. So I want to talk about two things this morning. First, who's he talking about? What does it mean, blessed are the gentle? What does that word mean? And then we'll talk about inherit the earth. So, gentle, Jesus was himself gentle. This word here, as Melissa has already done a great job of expanding, can mean humble or meek. It can mean obedient, but in our translation this morning, it was gentle. What I want to hold out to you and go through a series of verses is that Jesus modeled this for us. It was something that he was, and we see him being gentle, humble, meek, obedient, and he'll say, do likewise. So I want to look at a couple with you. The first is from John 13. It's a scene we've talked about before. The disciples were actually arguing, fighting about who's the best. Which one's the best disciple? Jesus, you tell us. I want to be number one. I want to be at your right-hand side, your left-hand side. And Jesus responded to that argument by taking off his cloak and wrapping a towel around his waist and washing their feet. It was the act of a servant. It's what a host would do. The host servant would wash your feet if you came over to visit. And his disciples were shocked by that. But he said to them, I washed your feet, so you should go wash each other's feet. I gave you an example, and he gave him a commandment, said, go do likewise. That was the night before he was crucified, arrested and crucified. And every year, right before Easter, we have that Maundy Thursday service, and that is to remember these words. And basically, Jesus was saying, be a servant, be humble, serve others, even as I have. A second scene that I already read this morning was the take my yoke from Matthew 11. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I, Jesus, am humble and gentle of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I mean, it's not quite you'll inherit the earth, but he's saying that is a quality that God blesses, to be gentle and humble. A third scene, Matthew is speaking, reflecting on the event, but it's set on Palm Sunday. This is a week before Easter, and it's what Melissa held a picture up. It's Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. And when that scene happened, and then reflecting back on it, the disciples say, as in Matthew 21, he did that to fulfill the prophecy in the scriptures. It happens to be in Zechariah. But the prophecy was, behold, your king, your Messiah, is going to come to you gentle and mounted on a donkey. Again, Melissa highlighted that well. That's not what they wanted. They wanted the, you know, King David on a white stallion waving a sword to take on Rome. But the Messiah, that one prophet at least said, he'll come gentle and meek, mounted on a humble animal, a donkey. That's the Messiah. That's the promised king. And Matthew said, when Jesus did that, we were reminded yet again, he is the one that God has sent. So just in a sentence, gentle humility, this quality that Jesus is talking about, is submission to and obedience to the will of God, whatever that may be. It's not the doormat. It's not the wimpiest of characters in some movie. It is serving and obeying obeying God's will, whatever that may be. That's this quality of meekness or humility. And again, I love that image that Melissa raised of a horse. You know, you have a wild horse, but when it's gentled, it then serves its master, the farmer, whoever it may be, still just as strong as before, but now its energy is focused into service of the one who has gentled it. That's a great picture of this. So to summarize all this, how do we move towards that? Two questions. What does God want of me? Right? If you want to have this quality, ask, what does God want of me? And what would Jesus do in this situation? And both of those questions should lead us toward this quality of serving God, obeying God, and serving others. So the second half of this, Jesus says, you're blessed if you are this way, this obedient, humble servant of God. And the result will be, you will inherit the earth. That's a pretty huge claim. I want to use Psalm 37. If you look back on the front of your bulletin, this was our call to worship. And look at that last verse, 11. Says the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Jesus was likely quoting or referring to this when he gave this teaching. And I want to just break apart a few aspects of this. Psalm 37 says the humble will inherit the land. Jesus said the earth. It's the same idea, but Psalm 37 gives us the key to understand, to kind of unlock what Jesus was talking about. He's not talking about taking over the earth like some kind of Napoleon blessing, right? And it's so easy for us to impose, you know, corporate takeover language or our idea of what kind of ruling the world is like. But he's specifically drawing on the psalm, which is the old covenant with Abraham. Remember, God said, Abraham, I'll give you many children. I will give you land, and I will bless you. This inherit the land is the promise that God is going to restore what was lost in the fall, right? God put Adam and Eve in the garden to serve him there, and they sinned, they disobeyed God, and they were taken away. And this story, as it unfolds through Scripture, is of God redeeming and restoring creation to give it back into the hands of his creatures, to humanity. And so this psalm says, be humble and God will give the land back to you. It was in the Old Testament, it was provisionally that holy land, the promised land. But when you get all the way to the end of the book, it's a new heavens and new earth. And I'll say some more about that in a second. But the land or the earth is shorthand for God redeeming and restoring creation. There's a verse in Romans 4:13 where Paul unpacks that. He says the promise to Abraham, or to his descendants, was that he would be heir, or he would inherit the world through faith in God's promises. So you have it in Psalms, you have it in what Jesus is talking about, you have it in Romans, in Paul's talking. I also want to just lift out one more word from that. Actually, can you go back one slide for me, Clay? At the end of verse 37, not only will the humble inherit the earth, but they will have abundant prosperity. And again, we got to be careful not to overwrite our definition of prosperity. You don't get, you know, trust in Jesus and you get a shiny new Lamborghini going to show up in your yard the next day. Prosperity is specifically that Hebrew idea of shalom, which is dwelling in the middle of God's will for your life. That's shalom. That's the Jewish definition, the Bible definition of prosperity. That may be, in earthly terms, a tough setting, right? I mean, some of the apostles ended up in jail, but they were following God's will, so they were prospering. Shalom can also mean peace. It can be God's mercy and compassion and loving kindness indwelling our life, but that blessing, that's what shalom is. And that's why it is a Jewish greeting to people. You say to them, shalom, may God bless you, may God be with you. It's why we end our services with a benediction or a blessing. May God be with you and keep you and watch over you. And we'll do that again today. So inheriting the earth, the blessing of the humble who serve God is for God to restore what was lost, and we're invited to be a part of that. Heirs of God's riches, God's restoration. So you get to Revelation. I guess you want to go ahead to, what's the next one? Yeah. You may remember this line, very end of Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It is the picture of God recreating, restoring what's here into the good creation that it originally was, and having his people serve him, steward it once again, like Adam and Eve did in Eden. That's a picture of what those who trust God will inherit, is the new heavens and the new earth. We're not there yet, but we get to practice that in this life. So Jesus is saying, if we serve God and others here and now, that's the gentleness, the humility, we will experience the blessing or the participation in God's restoration of creation. Yeah. Gentle humility leads to blessing and participation in God's restoration. One step further in a list of ways that God has blessed us, if we emulate Jesus, if we serve God with our words and our thoughts and our life, we get to be a part of this great drama. This is what we talked about all summer, of God making things right and making things new. The blessing is the participation in that. We get to be a part. So you'll find in Scripture, description of us, if we've trusted in Jesus, we get to be part of God's family. We're adopted into the family. And then it always says, and you are heirs, you're inheritors of what God is doing. So I want to end again with the blessing challenge today. We're doing this each week. I want to ask you, before the day is done, to think of one way that God has blessed you. Particularly, see if you can start with, have there been times when I have experience this trait of humility, right, in kind of giving over what I want to do to what does God want to do? Remember those two questions, what does God want? What would Jesus do? Have you ever done that, pursued what does God want, and experienced God's blessing of that? If that doesn't work, if you can't think of an example, think of any way that God has blessed you in God's definition of what that word means. And that's the challenge for today. And then for the week is, whatever you identify today, can you then go share that with another person? If through serving God you have been blessed, can you go serve another person so that they might be blessed? Because the whole idea of this series is to not only understand the way God has been good to us and blessed us, but it's to then share it, to be a blessing. So that's the blessing challenge. Sunday, how has God blessed you? The rest of the week, look for at least one opportunity to go bless another person. And super double gold star bonus, tell me about it, because I would love to hear some stories about this. I won't embarrass you or say your name without your permission, but I would love to share some of those stories back. And they don't have to be, you know, earth shattering, just a common everyday. I realized I was blessed, and you know, I said this to the person checking me out at the store, or I saw my neighbor out in the street, and I tried to bless them by saying or doing this. I would love to hear about that. So may God bless this word to our understanding and our living. Amen.